Hey, hey, hey. Hey, everybody out there. Welcome to the Annapolis Comic Con.
And welcome to the Carolyn and Joe Show live podcast.
Exactly. Hey, how you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. I see people in Halloween costumes, and it's amazing that people are so excited about Halloween. Only in a few more days.
It's pretty crazy that we're actually going to do this live.
Live.
First time ever live show. Are you excited about this thing?
Yes.
It's going to be a freaking blast. So, how are you doing? Let's start this show up like how we do every other show, Carolyn. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. And this is the Carolyn and Joe Show.
In stereo. So, we're over here in Annapolis.
Yes, we are.
We're in Maryland. this is so different. I'm not big, you know, I don't go to Maryland a lot, but it seems like something that I do, you know, maybe for work. I think Maryland's actually pretty cool. What do you think?
I am a fan of the Maryland state flag.
Really? What is the Maryland state flag?
On one side, it's like yellow and black. And then the other side is red and white.
Does it look like saints? Is that the one that sort of has like saints?
A little bit of that look. And it's split diagonally, color to color. And a lot of people really can't stand their flag, but I personally love the design of it. And I want to have a Maryland state flag dress. Somebody make me that.
A Maryland state flag dress?
Yes. I'll wear it.
Well, how would you design this Maryland state flag dress?
I'll wear it at the next Annapolis Comic Con.
At the next Annapolis Comic Con, you're going to wear a Maryland state flag dress?
If somebody makes me one,
would that count as cosplay?
Yes. I can be Miss Maryland.
Now, I know you brought something specifically for this show that you wanted to sort of unleash across the land.
So, you know, for fun, I bought this amazing dinosaur plant. It's pretty amazing just from the box. How would you describe this box? It says, a prehistoric evergreen that keeps coming back to life, grows in one day.
I like the design on this box because it's like you still got the real lava. It doesn't even really have real lava on the back. It's just sort of drawn in lava. The amazing dinosaur plant, a prehistoric evergreen that keeps coming back to life, grows in one day?
Yeah.
Is that why you wanted to bring this here?
And it's real volcanic lava rock included. So apparently this plant has been around for 20 million years. I mean, I don't know if this is hype or what, but something inspired me to actually buy this.
Let me see the back of this. It has a progress.
So I have water and everything, so we can actually grow it in one day. Has progress from out of the box, after 1 hour, and after 2 hours on the back. So we'll see how this goes after 1 hour.
So like the way the picture describes it here, out of the box, it looks basically like cereal. And then after 1 hour, it's going to be... So at the end of the show, basically, it's going to be this massive plant.
I hope so.
No way,
we'll
man.
We'll grow it throughout
no
the
way.
Whole day.
No way.
So I'm taking it out of the box now. Okay, I have our lava rock.
I like that we're actually doing this live because, like, I remember that you were a big fan of, like, The Chew. Is this sort of influenced by that show, The Chew?
Kind of, I didn't think of that, but this is kind of like a cooking segment on The Chew.
I don't know. Is Chew here in Maryland? I'm not sure.
No. I think they record up in New York.
All right, right on. So basically, now we're planting. We're planting on the air.
Yes, we are planting. Okay, so can you read the directions, Joe, while I plant?
I would assume that
so
you just add
here's
water.
Here's our bowl.
Do you want me to read the whole entire story at the back of this?
Why not?
All right, fine.
We need to educate people on what this amazing dinosaur
plant
is. All right,
basically on the back of the amazing dinosaur plant, it says, the story of the dinosaur plant. Hello, I'm the wild and crazy dinosaur plant. What? I'm one of the longest living plants in the world. My ancestors looked down to see the first dinosaurs emerge. At the time, we grew to over 120 feet. Taller than even a Tyrannosaurus Rex. You want me to read the whole entire thing? Wait, are there actually directions? All right, wait.
Yeah, there's directions.
Where? What is it? Where? I don't see directions. Oh, inside. All right. Rehydration. Planting your dinosaur plant for the first time. All right, place some moist.
This is the first time, much like our live radio show.
First, place moist plant in bowl and fill with water. The plant will start and open immediately. Wait a minute. So it's actually going to do something?
Here's the plant. So I have to moist the plant first? Because right now this
please,
looks like...
Please moist the plant.
This looks like a tumbling tumbleweed. Like, really, it looks... how would you describe this? There's a little bit of green. It looks
like narcotics. That's what it looks like. It's like Swamp Thing's heart. That's what exactly it looks like.
It actually does look like a heart. You should maybe take some photographs of this so we get... before and after.
All right, we'll document this. We'll document this transition.
Documenting.
As you do this, I'll do that.
I'll hold it up and document.
All right, here you go. The plant of a lifetime.
So first
it's
I'm gonna make it moist. And I brought some water.
Make it moist.
In this pitcher. This lovely purple pitcher.
This is not
here.
Really something that we do all the time, but I figured we should to be a little interactive. We're seeing what's gonna happen with
so
this plant.
I dipped it in. And
you
I
made the plant
it,
moist.
I made it moist. Oh, we should get some sound effect with that because I could hear a little bit of the moisture. Let's see.
Oh, holy crap, you actually can.
Okay. The plant is now moist. Now what do I do now?
I don't know. Rinse
you
plant
have,
thoroughly.
Yeah. Okay, I rinsed the plant.
All right.
Now what?
That's it. Just place it in there.
Let me read it. Okay.
I'm not the best. Sorry, guys. I'm not the best at reading instructions. If you guys do dare, we do have a mic out there. If you want to ask any question, absolutely any question, we will answer.
Okay,
our
it
best
says,
you can.
Place me in my bowl in my New Mexico lava rock. Pour some water on me, and I will spring to life within one day.
So I put all this rock in here, right?
No, you put it around it.
All right, let's see this thing.
Once in a lifetime. Let us put in the lava rock.
The lava rock is now going in to the bowl.
Did you hear that?
Let's go for it. Plant that thing.
I want to
see how far this thing really grows by the end of this show. We have an hour for this show.
I'm putting in the moist...
Moist Tallowette? No.
The moist dinosaur plant. And now I will add the water.
So this thing should actually grow by the time this... If this thing doesn't grow by the end of the show, I'm going to be sad.
I don't know how much
Halloween
water
will be
to add, but I put in enough that it looks like it can grow from.
It actually
so
looked
think,
like
I
it did that do that something.
It already growed? Grew?
It growed? It growed? Oh, what? Oh, yeah.
Let's take some documentation of it actually growing, and we'll see how far it grows in an hour.
This officially starts the radio show. Hope you guys enjoyed it so far. So, Carolyn, now that we got our friend, are you going to name this guy? You name everything.
I do.
So, what do you want to name our plant here?
Let's name him...
Name him T-Rex. Can we name him T-Rex? All right, his name is T-Rex.
I'm trying to find something with, like, the volcanic lava. But I like T-Rex. Let's get down with the T-Rex.
All right, his name is T-Rex. On with the show. So, we do have... We have people, we sent out, basically, over the whole week, we sent out just word that we're doing this show live, and we asked, basically, the internet if they had any questions. You're putting more water? What are you doing?
I just want to make
you're gonna
sure.
You can drown plants. You can kill a plant.
There's no way you can kill this plant, because it says it can come back to life even after you take it out of the water. Did you read all this? It's pretty amazing. Back to the plant. He says, when the Ice Age came, we had to mutate and get really small. We learned how to blow into dry land and sleep, waiting for water. Usually, we drifted around until we stumbled upon a puddle. Then we drank greedily and went back to sleep until our next fountain. My secret is that I'm very easy to care for. I don't even need to bury my roots. All I need is a little water and some occasional sleep. But basically, this is like a plant for somebody that doesn't care. Like, you can really just, like, let it go, from what I've heard, and it will come back to life later.
I'm excited.
Once you water it.
So one of the questions that we had over through the internet, the wonderful world of the internet.
Through the WWWs.
Through the WWWs. We had a question, you know, I think it's really actually a pretty strong question, basically saying, what was our favorite Halloween movie?
What was his favorite scary Halloween movie?
Our favorite scary movie. Scary movie.
Yeah.
I think that's... I'll start that with you. First, let me ask you a question. Are you a fan? We are in the Halloween season. This is fall. Are you a fan of scary movies?
Not particularly, in all honesty.
Why is that? Was there something in your when you were younger that you were traumatized by? Or you don't like being afraid?
I think, like, I was never really exposed to horror movies and films like that. Like, I just...
What do you mean? No one, like, was like, you gotta watch this horror, like, your dad didn't tell you to watch, like,
no.
Halloween or...
No, he never did.
What did you watch when you were younger? Just like kids' movies that were like...
Mostly kids' movies or Wizard of Oz. But actually, a lot of people say Wizard of Oz is like a freaking scary movie with
Wizard
the witch.
Wizard of Oz is scary, man. You have flying monkeys.
But that was, that is, and st-
monkeys
that was
don't fly.
And still is my favorite movie. And so like, just hearing about how much people disliked that movie because they thought it was so scary when they were younger.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like I'm like, dude, I was totally down with that movie like my whole life.
So does that, would that be your favorite scary, or do you have other?
I wouldn't say that that's a scary movie though, because I don't particularly find it scary. Like obviously the witch is a villain, but I never really got freaked out by it when I was younger at all. But as far as like some horror movies, like I don't really have anything that really has freaked me out. I've heard that Saw, I haven't actually watched Saw, but I've heard it's like freaky and scary.
I don't know. Saw sort of had, it, I guess in that, I don't know, it's a weird world of horror movies, I feel, at this point, because I feel like there's a lot of easy, I don't know, anything that's not psychological, I feel is like it's easy because they're trying to scare you with like gore.
And blood and stuff
blood
like that.
And, all the other stuff like that. I'm a big fan of psychological horror movies. Not that saying that like I didn't watch Hostel and stuff like that and I wasn't sort of freaked out, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't like on a boring day say, let's pop this in. You know what I mean? I know you like to bash it, but I like the idea. One of my favorite ones has always been Blair Witch Project. I love the idea of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole concept of that type of movie. I know even now they have Paranormal Activity and like all, you know, like the Paranormal Activity 4 just came out. And that's like, we were talking about this before, like how far can it go with this thing?
Well, I saw the first one and honestly, like I didn't think it was bad, but I wasn't frightened from it. I wasn't scared.
You weren't scared of Paranormal Activity?
There was a few shocking scenes where I was like, ah! Like that.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess it's good to get that type of reaction.
What scene was that?
I guess when they pulled her
back.
Spoiler
alert, if anyone was listening about Paranormal Activity.
When they pulled her back, that scene.
Oh, like when they grabbed her leg?
Yeah.
At the very
like
end.
Like I was like, ah! And then like.
Look, I can't believe that's happening.
But I mean, it's more just the excitement of being in the theater and just catching you at that moment. But I feel like I would be totally afraid of Paranormal Activity if I was watching that in my bedroom.
I think
a lot of the scenes happened in somebody's bedroom.
But see, that's the genius, I feel, of that first Paranormal Activity is the fact of, like, I felt it was so effective during, like, the daytime. They had, like, a daytime scene
mm-hmm.
where, like, her hair blew. I thought that was so freaking freaky because, like, usually when they try to when horror movies try to scare you, it's like during like nighttime. So you're always like, it's creepy music and it's all this stuff that's happening. It's so easy at that point. They set you up just like, I don't know, when you go to Disneyland and you go to the Tower of Terror and it's all that stuff. It's a easy scare, but like. When Paranormal Activity did the scare during the daytime, I was like, oh my God, that took some balls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to pull that off. But that's not your favorite horror movie, though,
but
is it?
But you know, I can't really pick any that's like absolutely scary, but also Disney released this cartoon that had like the Headless Horseman and like a whole bunch of skeletons dancing around and stuff. I don't even know what year it was made in, but it was definitely like some old school Disney.
That was like Sleepy Hollow, wasn't it?
It was kind of like a Sleepy Hollow-ish animation, though. But it was like all these cute pumpkins.
And this is perfect
like,
because I see the guy right here reading Tales from the Crypt.
But basically, that Disney animation made me feel like I was in the mood for Halloween. And they also have, I don't know if Disney made it, but it was like some maybe it was a WB cartoon, but it was... basically like Funny Little Bunnies that
yeah.
also came out. That's like for
Funny
more,
Little Bunnies.
That's more for Easter, but it's like the same equivalent, but the one of the Halloween just makes me in the Halloween spirit.
Now, when you think of Halloween spirit, are you thinking more of like a happy spirit or do you want something like freaky to happen? Like legitimate
I don't
freak,
actually
freak
want
out.
To be freaked out, truthfully. I mean, it has to be done properly. Like I don't, it's scary because when I was younger, I'll tell you this one story about when I was trick or treating.
Okay.
There was a guy in the cul-de-sac behind my parents' house, and he dressed up like a farmer, and he was sitting on a chair on his front porch. So I'm coming up, you know, I'm a young kid in elementary school age, and I'm coming up to get my candy, have my bag with me and everything, and I'm all excited. And he's just sitting there on, like, you know, on the stoop. And then... like, you know, this isn't a situation where you actually ring the doorbell because the person is outside already. So I came up and, you know, asked for candy, and the closer I got
Wait, so there's just some freaky guy just standing there
at
the door?
No, he's not a freaky guy. He was, like, an actual guy who lived in the house. It's just that he wasn't in the house for trick-or-treating. He was giving away the candy from outside, and he was just sitting on his stoop.
See, you know how every year I like to try to scare the kids, mm-hmm. like, more viciously than the year before? I was thinking that's possibly what I'm going to do this year.
Just sit outside?
Stand out there. How about I just stand out there, but no lights?
That would be really creepy.
Seriously creepy. I'll stand out there with no lights.
But with this situation, like, he got this guy, from what I remember, he had, like, a flannel on. He kind of looked like a farmer. Like, he might have had, like, overalls or something. But yeah. Like, a, you know, flannel with overalls. And so I'm walking up to him, and, you know, I'm like, trick or treat. But the closer I get to him, I start to notice something's weird with this guy.
What were you... I know this might sound weird right now, but what were you wearing?
I don't remember what I was wearing that year.
Okay.
But we can talk about previous costumes. I might have been, like, a witch or a pumpkin or Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
I always find
those were, like, my main costumes.
I think that's funny when people dress up as a pumpkin.
Well, I had, like, my mom gave me, like, this orange thing from the 70s.
Yeah.
And when you open up my arms like a wingspan, the orange color would open up and it would be like a pumpkin.
Like a giant pumpkin?
Like a giant pumpkin,
like a great pumpkin
once you put your arms out. Well, anyway, but the guy that was, you know, I'm coming up to him and I started to notice that his arm is bleeding.
His arm is bleeding?
Yes. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm in elementary school, so I'm like, oh my God, this guy's like bleeding out in the front yard.
Boy, okay. How did you see that he was bleeding?
Like, I just started walk up his driveway.
And was he, like, shivering, like, in pain, asking for help?
Or
yes.
He
was just he was asking for help? He's like, help me, miss.
He was like, oh, I'm bleeding, help, or something. And it, like, really did legitimately scare me out.
What'd you do?
I ran away.
Oh.
I was like, ah! And I ran down the driveway, and I was like, there's that guy's bleeding. His arm got cut off.
Did you just trick-or-treat by yourself?
I had one other friend from the neighborhood with me.
And so you just ditched that friend up there?
I don't even know where she was.
That's like the last time you ever saw that friend during this Halloween.
No, actually, that specific person, the last time I ever really saw her, which is really... I shouldn't say the last time, because she would always be at the bus stop and stuff.
Yeah.
But one time, she was, like, playing over at my house. And then, like, she... You know, we're just normal playing, whatever.
I don't know what that means.
Well, whatever. We were, like, doing jump rope or hopscotch or something out in the end of the driveway.
Not hanging out, like, on the internet or anything
like that? No, we weren't hanging out on the internet, like, playing video games and all that, like how the modern kids do. But we were, like, actually outside moving our bodies, like, jumping rope or whatever. Or, like, we also had Skip It back in the day.
Wait, what is Skip It?
Skip It is, like, this device that you... It's like a circle that you put around your leg. And
oh, okay.
Then
I remember that.
You skip over it. And it's kind of like jumping rope, but it times like how many skips that you did, like how many jumps that you put around your leg.
I see.
And so basically, we were playing, and all of a sudden she just started like yelling at the top of her lungs, like, ah!
Wait,
like,
so you're just
yelling.
Playing normally, and all of a sudden she broke out into massive panic attack?
She just, like, yelled, and then, like, this was, like, probably during the springtime, and I was just like, what happened? Like, what's going on? And then, like, she didn't even say anything to me, and she ran home. she lived, like, 5 houses down, and I was like, okay.
I can imagine that being one of the most frightening moments of, like, your life. Like, you're just normally playing Skip It, and all of a sudden... Like, your best friend just breaks out and yells and runs home for no reason.
For no reason. So then I was like, okay. And then I went, like, you know, up my driveway, and I think I went in and, like, told my mom. And I was like, Mom, like, Melissa just, like, screamed and then ran home. I was like, I have no idea what happened. And then, like, we went outside to, like, I guess walk to her house and see what was going on.
Yeah.
And, like, then we saw her and her mom driving down the driveway and, like, speeding off in the car. And I was like, what the heck happened? Like, I was like, what? It turned out that later on we found out what happened was an actual bee went inside of her ear.
What?
Yeah, and the
bee went inside of her ear?
Like, was, like, buzzing inside her ear.
And then she, of course, I'll run.
Apparently, like, you know, this is also elementary school age.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm assuming that the bee noise in her head, or like, I don't know if he went like in her ear hole.
The bee
or
went into her
brain. Went into her brain or something and was just like buzzing. Like,
That happens in the cartoons, doesn't it? Like, in the bees just go into people's brains in the cartoons.
I don't know if it went all the way into her brain, but it was definitely like inside her ear. So that's pretty amazing.
I shouldn't be laughing at that, but it's hilarious.
It is, like, you definitely shouldn't be laughing at it, but it's one of those things in hindsight where it's just like, and also it was just such an unfortunate situation because she didn't like tell me what was going on, but it must have hurt like hell though for her. Like, just to know that it hurt so much that she just yelled and then ran home without any explanation.
I mean, logistically, I wouldn't want a bee, like, in my face. So it's one of those.
And knowing
moments.
That it's inside your ear, how are you supposed to get it out? I don't know. But anyway, apparently they must have went to the hospital and all that jazz and taken care of it. But that's what happened with her. But she was the same friend that I went trick-or-treating with that same year that I saw the guy that had a missing
arm.
No, he like said that he cut his arm off.
See, that's weird if a guy would just stand there after he gets his arm cut and he just...
Just stand there?
Specifically on Halloween time.
I think he was thinking,
he was like, this would be perfect for the kids.
Exactly.
But did you ever see that man afterwards?
No. I didn't know that neighbor.
What if he wasn't even real? What if it was a ghost?
It could have been a ghost. But like, see...
That's totally ghost territory, though, if you think about it.
What freaks me out, like, looking back at this whole story in hindsight as an adult now, it's kind of like... Why didn't I put together that if he was really injured, he would have been off to the hospital like how Melissa was with her bee sting? You know, like, like, oh, I cut off my arm. Like, I'm just going to sit out here and, like, give out Halloween candy. You know?
See, that's exactly what I want to do in this year's Halloween. Usually, you know, I have some cool lighting set up, or I tried, like, last year, you know, I had, like, the house lights sort of pulsate as if it was, like, alive.
And it was red lights.
And it was red lights. So it definitely looked like the house was possessed. But this time around, maybe that's what I should do. Maybe this time around I should just stand there in the darkness, maybe with just one light. I don't know. I want to do something where I'm out there, but that is, I'm out there just standing. And
well, good luck with that, because from what I've heard, the weather is going to be pretty rainy and like tornado.
What? I don't want that to happen.
Haven't you heard of Hurricane Sandy?
I thought it was called Hurricane Frankenstein or something.
Well,
like
they
that.
Are calling it Frankenstein, but it's technically called Sandy.
I don't want Halloween to be ruined this year by Hurricane Sandy. What a horrible hurricane name to ruin to ruin Halloween by. Sandy is here. That's so frightening. No, nothing against people named Sandy or anything like that. But I'm the saddest when Halloween is down and out.
They should. Do you think they should reschedule it? Like, what if
reschedule it, Halloween?
Yeah. Like, what if it's
like
this,
a national? Like, it's the, is like it a national holiday?
No, it's not a national holiday.
Well, we celebrate it nationally.
Yeah, but some people don't.
What do you mean? Some people don't celebrate Halloween?
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
There
but some
are
people
some
don't
people that
do a lot of them. But
we don't get like off work or any type of like government
should.
Benefits or anything.
I look forward to Halloween just as much as I look forward to Christmas in the same exact way. I look forward to Christmas because I'm always like maybe a miracle will happen this year. Maybe some sort of real miracle will happen where, you know, something miraculous will happen at this year's New Year, at Christmas. So in Halloween, I always wish for something to be spooked. Sir, I know you possibly have a question. I have a feeling you're going to ask a question.
Here comes Dan Noakes.
Dan Noakes to the stand.
Hi.
Hi, Dan. You have a question
for
us?
Is it usually this loud?
It's
and
awesome.
When you do your usual tapings?
Yes, it is.
Yes. This is weird. Hey, can I come in and host a guest on your show?
Well, you have a mic right there.
I have a microphone. I have the power.
You have the power. You are a guest.
You've got the power.
Security here is lax, so I can basically do everything I want.
We're talking about Halloween. We're talking about Halloween moments. Do you have a favorite Halloween movie? Or do you have a scary story about your life?
I have many scary stories about my life. Like, what's my limit? Like, on a scale of G to triple X.
I don't know. Look at the people behind you. That's your regulation.
We have a bunch of small children
here,
at the
sir.
Other end of the
All
ball.
Right, I got a good story. I tended to, like, trick-or-treat to a much older age than other children. Most other children stop it around... What would you say, 11 or 12, you know, when they get to middle school?
When did you stop?
When I basically like 16, 17.
Oh, man, you still have 2 more years on that.
Yeah,
you can still go with that.
My last year, I went around and I went as, like, basically every year from my adolescence, when I hit about 6 foot, I went around as, like, a deranged psychotic killer, Jason Voorhees type of thing. And
sort of like the outfit you're wearing right now.
Absolutely. You know, basically what happened is I get to this one house, and because I was about, you know, 6'6", about the current height I am now, yeah, and I'm wearing head-to-toe masks, the people were having a Halloween party, and they thought I was a member of their party, so they invited me in. I don't say anything. I stay in character the entire time,
yeah,
breathing heavy, carrying a giant garbage bag, and wielding a real-life chainsaw. So they invite me in, and I just stand there for a good 15, 20 minutes, and they're like, Dave, is that you, Dave? No, it's it. And finally, I just grab a whole thing of candy, some...
What, you grab the whole entire, whole bowl
like
of candy?
Like a whole cauldron full of candy?
Yeah, I just basically put it in my big hefty garbage bag, give him a scary stare, and I walk out the door. So. But that's my Halloween story. Though that, and right before I get to the house, there was these, you know, like little teeny boppers right in front of me. You know, mind you, I'm not too far from a teeny bopper at the time myself, but they're like, you know, talking.
That's a teeny bopper age, sir.
Yeah, but they were, you know, like 11, 12, 13. They were all talking. They're not noticing that I'm right behind them, again, in the same chainsaw homicidal maniac, yeah, with a big garbage bag. And finally, they turn around like, ah, ah, ah. And then after a while, they still like notice that I'm following behind them. And, you know, I'm just trying to get to the next house. But like, I'm not afraid of you, Jason. And finally, I start revving up the chainsaw behind them. And they just run off in the back.
I'm happy that they knew the name,
yeah,
of the character, too.
But that's my Halloween story. That's my best Halloween story. I don't know if it's on a scale of 1 to 10, if it's any good or not.
Are you planning on scaring any children this year? Dan?
I got my yard set up pretty well.
What's your setup?
Well, basically, there's a little garden in my walkway, so I put like headstones. It's like very ivy heavy, so I got headstones. I got a couple of Grim Reapers laying around. I got a nice lighting situation.
That's cool.
Wrapped around the trees. I got little green lights in the garden to give it sort of like that like dilapidated cemetery look. I got a fog machine. I got an inexpensive fog machine.
Nice.
So I'm thinking about if I can find a way to rig some great Halloween music. I'm thinking of doing that too.
That's really setting the mood.
Yeah, Halloween is my Christmas, basically.
Yeah.
I loathe and detest Christmas, as you can guys tell from like when I do the Christmas Legion of Doom thing. That's not an act. I hate Christmas, but I love Halloween because there's no expectations for Halloween. You know, you don't have to sing Halloween carols. I mean, what do we got? Monster Mash, that's about it, you know?
Wait, but, I mean, sometimes you have whole entire bands that are just dedicated already to Halloween. Like, to me, I say the Misfits are Halloween.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't have... There's not, like, you know, commercials every 30 seconds for some lame 70s or 80s act doing a Christmas album around the holidays. And not to mention, you know, like, I think a lot of the Halloween things were pushed in and out already. Like, if you go down to a local Michael's, they've already went through their Halloween stuff. They got their Christmas stuff set up,
yeah,
back in, like, what, early September?
And I was actually thinking about, instead of just going full Halloween this year, that we were just going to do straight Christmas right now. Yeah. So it's just a full-on, hardcore
and
Christmas setup.
Like, answer the door as Santa Claus?
Yeah, just do it. We're like,
pipe in some Christmas carols.
See, I'm doing the opposite direction. I'm going to go and take and get my... instead of my Halloween decorations being taken down, I'm going to get like a couple of Santa hats and miscellaneous and just put them on top of the Halloween decorations. Like, you know, like the Grim Reaper with a Santa hat and, you know, some festive Christmas lights around the jack-o'-lanterns and stuff like that. Kind of like, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas it all up.
Heck yeah. That's a good mix, man.
Yeah.
So have you already been, do you go to a lot of Halloween parties?
I'm going to one after the show, as a matter of fact.
Really? Are you dressing up for this?
I am dressed up. I'm Tim Roth from Pulp Fiction.
Nice. Sweet, yeah.
Nice.
Either that, or I could be Christian Slater from what's the movie True Romance? I could be him too.
You can also be the.
Somebody said I was Magnum PI, but I was like, you know, I don't have the porn stash going.
I do like that the outfit you have on right now can be like multiple characters.
Yeah,
because that could be what's his face from Cape Fear.
Oh yeah, Bobby De Niro, and I got the longer hair thing going on too. So yeah,
you could be Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura.
Or you could be John Lasseter from Pixar.
That's a frightening thought. I'd be making better money right now. That's a good thing. But other than that, it's total downhill.
So if you had any question to ask us, The door is open.
Any question?
Anything in the whole entire world. We'll answer any question.
Yes.
Also, look at our plant. Our plant is actually growing. This plant is supposed to grow for a whole entire hour.
For those who can't see this right now, it's amazing. It is like...
It is like
at least 4 or 5 inches tall.
Like this plant actually used to just be.
Is that like hydroponic? I don't see any dirt in it.
It's the amazing dinosaur plant. This used to look like those.
So is it like Jurassic
frosted...
Park? They found old DNA and fossilized DNA.
Pretty
and
much.
They just rebuilt it Jurassic Park style, but without knowing that this could be what wiped out the dinosaurs. But hey, let's just take it and recombine it.
What did you dress up as when you were younger? Did you ever dress up as a pumpkin?
No, I never had the. It was always superheroes or.
You didn't dress up like a tree or an inanimate object.
No,
or something.
I do have one good story. A friend of mine, also named Joe. We met like late adolescence. He was this is like when we first met, but before I knew who he was, he lived in the neighborhood, and he knocks on my door. This is like, he's a trick or treater. I just open the door, and he's just dressed plain clothes. Like, what are you supposed to be? I'm like, I'm a bum. Give me some candy. It's like, no, get the hell off my parking.
I'd like to know about what was the last time that you were legitimately like afraid, like scared. Has that happened in the last 10 years?
Define afraid, like, you know, like, oh my God, startled, or because like I walked last year I went through a haunted house. My sister had never been there, so I told my sister and brother to go.
I mean, like, and, horror movie afraid, like running for your, like, you're like, oh my, this something's going down, let's get out of here right now.
Okay, I can. What's the movie with Liv Tyler, the one where Strangers?
Armageddon?
No, I was terrified, man.
Is Liv Tyler in Scream?
Jersey Girl, that was
Jersey
it.
Girl. Yeah,
oh, Jersey Girl.
I was terrified.
You didn't like Jersey Girl?
I love Jersey Girl, but back to point. It was at The Strangers. I just watched The Strangers. I was in the house by myself, and I had to get something out of my car. So that was the last time I was legitimately, like, horror movie scared. I had to watch a horror movie, because that's one of those movies that, like, there's no monsters, there's no supernatural element to it. It's just a bunch of guys who dress up in a costumes, and it's like Michael Myers, so this could plausibly happen.
Yeah.
Statistically not, but you know, in your head, it's like, oh my God, are they waiting for me out there? It's kind of like, you know, if people would become scared after they watch Jaws or something like that.
Do you ever have like when you were younger, like a place in your house, like say your basement or like the boiler room or... Where if the lights were to go out, you'd be so afraid. Because there were spots like that in my own house. It was amazing. I look to you, now when I look at being afraid, I think of it as such an amazing experience because, like, people are not afraid anymore. There's so much knowledge.
Yeah. In this day and age where we've had, like, the era of the slasher movies, the era of the internet, the era of mass media communications, people, and we've always tried to raise the ante on how to scare people. It's at the point where... How do you scare people anymore? Like I said, the last movie that scared me was The Strangers.
Was The Strangers?
Yeah, The Strangers. That terrified me. Just in the idea of, like, the premise is based in so much real-world stuff that you can sit there, it's like... And like I said, I was alone in the house, and I watched it. I was like, man, I have to go out in my car and get some of my art supplies. Like, I don't want to go out now.
What was the last time you were afraid of something like that, Carolyn?
Honestly, I really cannot remember anything, but there is a chilling story that recently happened to my employer.
Oh, really?
Like, he wasn't in the house, but he has, like, a teenage daughter and a young son that were in the house. And this was, like, at 1 a.m. And keep in mind, like, I've been to their house before. Like, they live in a nice suburban house where, like, in my mind, like, no crime would ever happen. Like, no one, like, then, like, it's just a nice neighborhood. I don't understand why anything would happen. So, like, at 1 o'clock, the son is waken up by this guy that's, like, I can't remember the actual name, but it was something
Josh.
Like, Josh, that's it. He was like, where's Josh? I'm looking for Josh. And, like, this random guy was there. And apparently he was, like, drunk and broke through their actual front door, which was locked. Like, that would scare me, being in, like, elementary school age and then just having some random guy. And apparently he had, like, sleeve tattoos on both arms. And he was just like, where's Josh? I'm looking for Josh. And then the daughter woke up, too, and she called the neighbors. And then the neighbors called 911. And then they had the guy, like, out in the front porch just, like, sitting there. And then they're trying to, like, you know, I guess stabilize him and keep him there until the cops came.
Yeah.
But once when he found out the cops were going to come, he basically, like, jetted, jumped the fence, and then they found him in, like, a property behind the house.
Was he kind of like that kind of, like, Boo Radley motif going on there?
I mean, Boo Radley. I don't know, like, what this guy is, but apparently he looked like he worked out and, like, had, you know, the two sleeve tattoos and, like, I don't know, like...
I like that he apparently looked like he worked out.
Yeah. That was the description.
The guy was, like, when you're going to the cops, he's like, yeah, he was in good shape, good cardio. Yeah. It was happening.
He ran like the devil.
To me, it means, like, he's, like, a pretty big guy that, like, you know, bulking guy. But I'm like, why? I guess he might have went into, like, the wrong house looking for Josh. But, like, that would really freak me out to be, like, those kids' ages. And even, like, in, that girl's, like, a high school senior. That would really freak me out to be, even right now, that would freak me out just to have a stranger in your house, knowing that your door is locked, knowing that you keep everything safely in a nice neighborhood. Just to have some random guy yelling, "Where's Josh?" Like, but apparently, like, the kids were fine. They were just like, "I don't know where Josh is." And then, like, you know, they handled it properly. But that's messed up.
It's like changing songs. Like, "Where's Daryl? Daryl ain't here, man." Man, you're buff.
All right, since you're here, Dan, you can help us with this. We can help us with this next online question that was asked through Twitter from what was his name? David Amazing. Is that what it is? Or just,
yeah, from David Amazing.
David Amazing asked us...
That is his real name.
His name is David Amazing.
David Amazing.
Screams pro wrestler right there.
He asked really the honest question. We're about to go into pro wrestling talk
Are
right
we?
Now.
Here we go.
He asked...
Have I mentioned my fondness for Samoa Joe? Today?
He asked, basically, how do you feel about Ryback's push? Ryback as in the real wrestler from
anybody
NXT.
Anybody that's been reading my Facebook page knows how I feel about the Ryback push.
Let the world know. Since probably when this show is released, it's after Hell in a Cell, which is happening tomorrow night when we record this. But yeah, what do you feel about that? Without trying to mention what happens in the pay-per-view, because I have no idea.
I don't know either, but to me, Ryback is the poor man's Goldberg.
He's the poor man's Goldberg.
With not half the skill of a Dave Bautista. And
and he doesn't have that tattoo
more,
around his belly button.
Slightly more mic skills than Brock Lesnar. So,
but that's not what you feel about his push, though. That's just him as a person.
I'm a huge Punk fan, and I want him to be champion until about December, at least December 7th or 8th, when he breaks Cena's record at 380 days. Just a little facts I'm laying on you, and
just some knowledge.
I just always feel like, you know, they tend to side with the big, giant, huge, muscular squash match guys versus a guy that can give you a 90-minute match like a CM Punk and make it entertaining. It's like. Have you seen anything that any match that Ryback has wrestled over 5 minutes?
That Ryback?
Yeah.
I did watch a match online of him versus CM Punk that was longer than 5 minutes.
Longer than, what was it, 7, 8?
Like 6:45.
Something like that. It's like, you're going to get a guy that hasn't proven himself. He makes 5 minutes look awesome, but, you know, a main event is supposed to be, what, a good 20 to 30 minutes?
Yeah, 20-45, why not?
I'm thinking, you know, how do we know how he can perform in those kind of situations? He is totally friggin' untested. Yeah, he can make a crowd go wild with, you know, his tours are, you know, feed me or more, or whatever it is. Catchphrases are, but he hasn't proven himself that he can quote-unquote carry the brand. And I know they're searching for their, I guess, you know, Cena's getting into that retirement age at that point, so they're trying to find a Cena replacement. I'm guessing they're not looking at Punk as that guy at this point.
Punk is a heel now, so it's sort of like...
But he's a great heel.
He's a great, great heel, too, yeah.
To me, it's like, you know, they said, I have this vision of it. He called him into his office, and he's like, you know what, all right, I'm going to be a heel, but I'm going to be the best heel that I possibly can be. I mean, not just like the plan, the one dimension, like, oh, I'm being cheated of the title, blah, blah, blah. He's really going for points. Like, he said some stuff that made me cringe at some points. You know, like, the last time I heard somebody go into a heel rant that made me cringe is when Edge did the whole Terry Gordy thing.
The what?
There was a scene.
Terry Gordy?
Yeah, basically, there's an obscure one. This is Edge was a heel.
Now you're bringing some wrestling knowledge onto us
this
now.
This is like 05-06. And
this is during the great Edge time. After he had the Lita angle.
Well, basically, at this point, he had Sergeant Slaughter and Michael Hayes was in the ring. And this is maybe a few weeks after Terry Gordy passed away. And Edge goes and he says, he starts picking on Sergeant Slaughter, calling him old and used up. But then he goes over and Terry goes like, hey, I guess you don't have Terry Gordy to back you up anymore. Or somewhere around that line.
And you're like, oh.
And it's like, ooh, damn. Yeah, wow.
I feel like Punk and Heyman together, man. That's a team, right? I mean, what do you think about... Are you a fan of Ryback, Carolyn?
I think that the tagline of Feed Me More is interesting, but I can't say that I'm like really drawn into him right now.
Well, what do you feel about his push then?
I feel like he's the main guy that Punk can feud with right now. That's like a fresh person.
Okay, that's one thing. I mean, that's about it. Yeah.
I only feel that Ryback is in his position right now specifically because Cena got hurt.
Yeah.
And they had to pull something. Because legitimately, there is no one else for CM Punk to even like.
Unless they want to try and push Ziggler at this point. And I think Ziggler.
I like Ziggler a lot.
I think Ziggler could, in effectively 3 to 5 years, be.
Damn, 3 to 5 years?
Yeah.
That's like when you go to jail.
Yeah,
that's 3 to 5.
You're in purgatory for 3 to 5 years,
yeah.
Sir.
He's still working the mid card there.
Well, you don't think he's gonna be ready in two to three, 1 to 5, 1 to 2 years?
Maybe. Like I said, I think he is definitely an underutilized piece of the puzzle on WWE.
But he's here to show the world.
That's a matter of opinion, but
I saw heel Ziggler at New York Comic Con this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you saw him at you saw Ziggler?
Yeah, I got my picture taken with him and with Toast.
Oh, Toast.
It's pretty cool. Like, Ziggler was only doing... He was at the Mattel booth for 1 hour. And I got a ticket to go see it.
Sweet. Punk was at Philly this year, but yeah. I mean, he had
his line was huge, right?
Yeah, there was no way I was even going to try.
I'm always wondering, it's like, why is Punk not at... You know, he always goes to those smaller Philly ones.
Oh, my gosh. If he was at New York Comic Con, seriously, like, there'd be pandemonium.
Yeah.
I saw a ton of people with Punk shirts at New York Comic Con.
I saw people that looked like Punk.
I think it's funny too. No matter they are trying to push him as like a heel of heels, but as bad as he gets, he still has his fan base cheering for him, and you still have people. As much as they're trying to push Cena as the ultimate goody goody since Hulk Hogan,
there
are still people booing him. You know, like, we're tired of this. You know, could you just get rid of the PG thing and go back to. The Attitude Era.
I also feel that like a lot of people that are cheering Punk are cheering him as the same as if someone was cheering like an artist. It's like they appreciate what he's doing either way because they know it's quality.
It's the older people that realize he's playing a character, and he's playing the character as best as a human can. I mean, is it on a level like, you know, like a Shakespearean actor doing, you know, Hamlet? No, but it's somebody putting his best into what he's been given.
It's like Heath Ledger doing the Joker. It's like if I saw the Joker in real life, I would hate him or I'll be afraid, you know what I mean? But if I were to... you know, now that you know Heath Ledger's playing a character, you're like, oh man, Heath Ledger's amazing. But the Joker in real life is scary. Or, you know what I mean?
Given that wonderful third person perspective of any type of, you're allowed to sit back and watch things unfold and know it's like, it's a story, and you can sit back and appreciate it at the elements of said story.
Speaking of running into like wrestlers or celebrities, have you ever ran into a celebrity in person?
I got a great story about that.
Man or female?
Male. Male and female.
Cool.
Technically.
I was. What?
Is it like a Wachowski brother?
Technically, man and female.
To clarify, one of each. It wasn't like an Ed Wood film or anything like that. Basically, I was. It was this year. I was up in. I had done a show out in California, the Image Comic Con, and I had noticed a guy running around with a one of those. Was it not a derby hat, but one of those Rue type deals.
What? The Woo?
He was wearing a hat to like disguise himself, but we knew it was Chris.
Oh, okay.
It was Chris Hardwick, and he was walking around with his girlfriend. By the way, Chris Hardwick is he's kind of short.
He's a tiny person.
Yes, he's a very small, slender person, and he has a very tall girlfriend. Like, and heels was taller than me. But he stops by my booth, You know, like I'm hoping to even stop by. And usually I see celebrities at shows and I don't think very much of it, but I have a lot of respect for Hardwick and I like what he does. So officially nervous geek out mode broke out.
Let me know, wait, so why? Why do you have such a, you know, why do you enjoy Chris Hardwick so much?
Why do I like, it's kind of a whole,
he's like,
you know,
a cultural icon now.
Yeah, it's sort of like the whole,
singled out?
It's somebody that, you know, is like, actually likes, the, you know, when he says, oh yeah, I'm a comic book fan, and you know, like, whatever, well, you know, you're not in the comics, but you see him.
How does he talk? Doesn't he usually talk like, yeah, well,
yeah, roughly the same as he does in a television or,
like, you know, like the
media event type of deal.
Yeah. So you ran, this is an ImageCon?
Yeah, this is ImageCon. Basically, the thing was the attendance wasn't that high, so people were actually roaming. I saw him. I met the guy that plays, was it Norman Reedus? I met him at that show, but the Hardwick one was my favorite because he actually bought sketch cards for me, so that was really cool.
That's cool.
Found out he was a huge Transformers fan, and we got to talk for about 5 or 10 minutes. So that was my cool celebrity story.
But you said there's also a woman involved in the next one, right? Or was that...
That was
says
the woman. Him and his girlfriend came by.
Was it like some sort of... Was that girlfriend a somebody? Or was it just some random hot...
She's in like... she appears on the Nerdist, and I see her... Like, whenever they do those Doctor Who... pseudo-documentary deals, she always appears in one of the panelist things, like kind of those Best Week Ever type of deals, and says...
Oh, okay. Is she a comedian?
I think so. I know she's some sort of like model celebrity type.
Okay.
And I've seen her in other parts and talk. She was a nice person. So
you know what I want to know now that we're on the female end of this, of our conversation together, our personal conversation.
Okay.
Do you have a celebrity crush?
Do I have a
celebrity? Or have you ever had a celebrity crush?
My biggest celebrity crush.
But let's start it also. Have you had multiple ones?
Yeah, perfect. Not to sound like a complete...
That's all right.
Pig here.
That's cool.
But I like any person. I have my line of people that I find attractive.
When you were the youngest, what was your like first celebrity crush?
Probably in my teens, probably mid to late teens or something like that. My the psycho chick from The Craft, Feruza Balk, was probably my first.
Oh, yeah, at least. Yeah.
I'm glad you find
that. It's been confirmed.
I'm glad you find that funny one.
She is pretty cool.
Yes.
That was also a pretty awesome cast.
Yes.
The Craft.
Yes.
Which is maybe another great movie to watch in the Halloween time, too.
Yes. Yeah, that was probably my first one. I liked Angelina Jolie pre-adopting the Third World.
pre-adopting the whole Third World.
The entire Third
One
World.
One baby from every continent.
I actually at one point thought about moving to some Third World country just so I could get adopted by Angelina Jolie.
What movie? Because, you know, basically you can gauge Angelina Jolie.
Where I fell for her, there was a movie called, I think it was called Foxfire. This is before she became big. That's where I've developed my crush. That and Gia, I had a huge crush for her.
Of course, Gia.
Yeah, of course. I wonder why. But those were my two early crushes for me.
Now, have you ever gotten close to meeting those?
Oh, hell no. The closest I got to Feruza Balk was there was some horror convention that she was supposed to be at, and I just like, oh, maybe I should go. I was like, oh, I don't want to feel like some celebrity stalker type.
See, that's always the toughest thing. It's like when you meet that sort of celebrity crush, or when you're in that area, or vicinity, or town, you're always like, what am I going to say? And then every single time, I feel like when I've talked to people, or even when I've experienced it myself, I almost talk myself out of it because I don't want to assume to be like the fan.
I don't want to be the creepy guy, the creepy fanboy guy in the Freakazoid cartoons. I don't remember if anybody remember the Freakazoid.
Yes.
Yeah, fanboy. Yeah, I don't want to wind up looking or sounding like that guy, which I'm sure from third person perspectives, I sound like that guy all the time. So,
Joe, would you say that you're childhood celebrity crush is like Amy Jo Johnson, Pink Ranger?
No secret. First celebrity crush was the original Pink Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson. You know who she
did
is.
Did you see her in the movie? There was some movie where she played like some trailer girl.
Sweetwater?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It was called Sweetwater.
Yeah.
Or was it? It was that VH1 movie that was on. Also, she was on a Disney movie called CZQ, which was pretty awesome. She's on Flashpoint now. She's made her own short film.
Cool.
called Bend. What? He's listening. Yeah, I'm down with Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah.
But also in the same sense, I'm also sort of sad because I'm also a huge fan of Morgan Webb, and I just heard that G4 is rebranding, so they're getting rid of Attack of the Show, and they're getting rid of
X-Play. They need to get rid of Attack of the Show. It's run its course.
Yeah, or and also like X-Play. So that means no more Morgan Webb. What do you think about that, Carolyn?
Well, there's I don't know exactly what's going on with G4, but I guess they're rebranding to kind of be like Spike TV, which in my personal opinion, it's like, why do you have to rebrand to be like somebody else? You already were your own.
It seems like they're just trying to be another Spike.
It's not like G4 had a lot of programming. Whenever I tuned in, it's like Cops and Replay of Cops.
Campus PD.
Yeah.
Which is Cops Light, I think.
Yeah. They really didn't even have any other show besides Attack of the Show or X-Play.
I'm actually surprised that they're going like the opposite direction, because I would have taken that whole like Nerdist like geek thing going on that's like a big craze
with
everything
huge now.
And
why
just
not
taken it and ran with it.
Yeah, brand it for the Geek Squad instead of going for the whole thing. Oh, wow. Hey, guys, I got to duck out of here now, but...
it was good talking to you, sir.
Can I do a couple quick plugs?
You can do a shout-out? Go ahead, just plug it.
Shout-out.
I got two webcomic projects coming up. The first one is called The Reptile and Mr. Amazing, The Return of Cat Carson. Basically, the premise is, what if you know, the super soldier serum that gave Captain America his powers.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that like a medical treatment? Isn't that like a drug? Don't they test that out on animals before people?
I mean, they can.
Yeah, so what if you took the super soldier serum and gave it to a common house cat? You would get Carson. So basically, that's the premise of that first book. The other one's called Impossible Space Tales of the Last Pit Stop, which is basically, think of it as Men in Black meets Clerks. Area 51 is nothing more than a giant... convenience store for aliens.
Nice. Yes. Website. What website? Phone number?
Yes.
Email? House address?
Both will be out in November.
Gotta pass it on to Angelina and Julie.
Cat Carson will be written by me and drawn by my brother, Will Nix. That will be out probably the end of this week. The end of next week, sorry. The second one will be out sometime around middle of November. The website is www.21sandshark.com.
Nice. What's your Twitter handle?
I have a Twitter one. I guess just look me up on Twitter, man. I don't know much.
Just Google. Google Dan Notes.
Yeah, I'm vehemently anti-Twitter, man. I need way more than 140 characters to get out what I feel about Samoa Joe and other subjects.
If you guys go to his Facebook, definitely talk about Samoa Joe and how much Dan hates TNA.
Yeah, I used to love TNA. It's horrible now. This Aces and Eights thing is an atrocity. It just makes Nexus look like the NWO.
See, we're gonna pull. There's no escape from this conversation. If we talk about TNA and Samoa Joe, Dan, it's gonna go crazy. But thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Nice. So, to close out this show, we still got a few minutes. There's one thing, when we were talking on the way up here, Carolyn, there was one thing I just could not fathom, was the fact of Adele.
Let's talk about it.
Well, there's this situation where, like, you know, I still cannot get into Adele, but every time I go into, any one of my makeup artists I use always plays Adele's music. Is there something that I'm missing here?
I think it's, like, a definite feminine thing right now. It's, like, a lot of girls who have been through breakups, they're like, I need to listen to Adele.
But also,
she
we're talking
will get
about
how, me through it.
But also, I felt like, because whenever we're looking on Facebook, there's always, I guess, there's ladies, now that they post those pictures of, like, I guess, bigger women and then younger, like, skinnier women, and they're all like, this is real, but this skinnier girl is not real. In my mind, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's not like that.
Well, I think Adele is obviously very talented and she has a great voice and the music is good. Like, the reason why we started this conversation is because I was like, have you heard the new James Bond theme? Because Adele worked on it and I heard it on the radio one time and I really liked it. So we were talking about her, and then also it gets to like body image, because, you know, she's a heavier woman, which is fine, and she's natural and she has a natural beauty that comes with that. But I don't understand why people have to talk about her weight in general. People should just be talking about her music.
I actually
not
don't,
to be like, I relate to her because she's a real woman.
I don't understand how, like, there's some ladies out there, I don't know, I don't think you should just classify, like, a real woman by that look. By, like, oh, she's, I guess we'll say, chunkier, you know what I mean? And like, say, like, oh, but that's real. That's how majority of women are. And, like, is that true?
I don't know. We'd have to weigh.
We had to weigh
a few women and then come up with what the median would be.
It's I don't know. It's sort of unbelievable for me to think about that. The same. I don't know. Times are changing. There's people who people these days are in shape.
I think people just want to be like in. People just want to include every type of body shape nowadays to be like, oh, we're all humans and everybody is equal. When it comes down to it, not everybody is going to be equal, but I think people just want to be more accepting of different body shapes.
So,
which Adele like represents the like a little bit of a bigger woman.
So are
woman
you
size.
Are you going to be dressing up this year for something?
I
for Halloween?
Am wearing my witch dress. It's not really anything super special, but it's what I put on this morning. It has like a see-through sleeve.
It's like a triad. What
yeah.
are you wearing now?
I have like this black little like witch sheer arm part.
I feel like this show is going to get, it sounds like it's getting dirty. Which also happens.
What are you wearing for Halloween?
But it's also like my favorite scene in the TV show My So-Called Life, the Christmas episode. Where like, you remember when Brian Krakow, he
yeah.
was all depressed?
Krakow.
I know, we seem to talk a lot about Christmas during this Halloween time.
I mean, they are major holidays.
They are pretty major holidays.
Major.
But that was my favorite scene because he was all depressed and he wanted to call this, he called the self-help line and Rianne was working the self-help line. She's like, oh my God, it's Brian Krakow, what should I do? And he's like, I don't know, make him feel better. And he was like, I'm depressed. I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden he turned it into she turned it into dirty talk.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the best thing ever that
it's
you can
hotline.
Do.
The hotline.
Yeah. I mean, so, I don't know about you, but that's going to make me happy. Maybe that should happen during Christmas time.
Maybe. It should.
That's the miracle I'm always waiting for at Christmas time. Not so much at Halloween. I want something spooky to happen at Halloween this year.
And then the hotline to happen at Christmas.
Hey, wait, where's that music? That's us.
It means that this is the end of the show. We have some tour dates coming up. On December 15th, we're going to be in Philly. We're going to be at the Rotunda for a comic show. And also, have you heard of Awesome Con? AwesomeCon.com. AwesomeConDC.com. Have you heard of it? It's April 20th. Through 21st, 2013. I know it sounds like it's far away, but you guys, this is going to be a major event. It's at Washington Convention Center in DC, and there hasn't been a convention for comics there in ages, or maybe ever. I don't know for sure, but there has never been a DC Comic Con, and now finally a comic and pop culture festival for the district. Go to www.awesomecondc.com.
And there you go, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to us here
live.
At Annapolis Comic Con.
You can
check
find
us out
more information
at curls-cu.com. Check out, oh yeah, our plant is looking pretty awesome. curls-cu.com, astrayproductions.com, and curls-cu.com, everything else. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios.